This is the first time we're going to send humans to the moon, and we're going to have humans in low Earth orbit. That is awesome.
I was talking to someone very close to Elon Musk, and this is in the first Trump administration, and they said, no, they're really going to launch the Mars mission from the dark side of the moon, so it can't be looked at by a lot of our enemies, but also it's a better launch point, and also it's protecting the craft facilities from solar radiation. And they've already got 3D printers up there. They've already got a base up there for the secret space program. And that when Trump wins re-election, they're going to announce it and do it. You notice Musk suddenly said, now we're not launching from the Earth. We're launching from the dark side of the moon a month ago.
Exactly. Well, that's 6-7 years ahead. That's the kind of intel. This is part of the problem, which is we're getting the intel much, much later. And there's this gap in time. So we talk about things like the release of the UFO file. This is scheduled.
8 brilliant minds, each one inching closer to unlocking zero-point energy, plasma fusion that could render fossil fuels obsolete, or the anti-gravity secrets allegedly reverse-engineered from crashed non-human craft, have met mysterious ends or vanished without a trace. Their deaths and disappearances clustering in recent months amid rising whispers of massive revelations.
I've been 100% serious. I've been briefed by just about every alphabet agency there is. And I'll just tell you this, if they would release the things that I've seen, you would stay up, you'd be up at night worrying about or thinking about this stuff. This country would have come unglued, I think, if they would have heard all that I heard. They would demand answers. And we need to. But, you know, it's never going to get, and unfortunately, it just keeps getting covered up and covered up. And the people that know are dying or disappearing, as the case may be.
Wow.
And for the record, I'm not suicidal and I don't take risks.
This is why Congress is working hard for whistleblower protections, because we want people to feel safe to come out and have a conversation. And right now they don't feel overly safe. They've seen some of the tactics and techniques that were applied to try to keep people quiet in the past. Let me say this in general terms. People say, oh, well, the government would never kill anybody to protect a secret. Try going to Area 51 and look at the signs on that chain link fence where it says lethal force authorized. You cross that fence and they can kill you dead. Okay? So the government can, under certain extreme cases, under certain extreme situations and conditions, they can do whatever they need to do to protect national security, and they will.
But I was standing behind an alien in a spacecraft, just a small one. Could I ask you a question? And he said, okay. And I said, how do you get from here to Alpha Centauri? We can't do that. The only thing that we think about is I have to go really fast for a really long time. Can you use what information I have in my head and try to explain it to me? And he said, well, do you know what a Rubik's Cube is? And I said, oh, yeah, my son can do them in 2 minutes. He says, okay, so imagine a Rubik's Cube, but not necessarily just the six sides. Just imagine the concept of a Rubik's Cube. And I said, okay. Now imagine on each one of the tiles on the Rubik's Cube has a chart of the elements. And he says, so what you do to get to Alpha Centauri is you just twist the cube. And I said, what do you mean? He said, well, I told you you wouldn't understand. And he said, when the periodic table occurs in a different place, you're at that place. And that's just a very crude explanation. But you have to stop thinking about go that way for a long time, very fast.
Describe the very first time you were teleported.
It's scary in a way. I mean, you don't really know, okay, is this evil? Is this good? What is this? What do I do with this? How do I deal with it? I was on the phone. Oh my God, what's happening? And I was landed. And landed about 40 miles away in a ditch outside of a Baptist church in a little tiny town just where you cross it.
I'm holding in my hands two compounds that are guaranteed to change your life. T3, pure atomic iodine, nobody else has it. It's next level. And ultramethylene blue, medical grade methylene blue. These two products together supercharge the mitochondria of the cells, clean out the body, and are game changers. Iodine is essential, meaning you die without it. The UN admits that most people that have cognitive disabilities is because of lack of iodine. You add ultramethylene blue to this, it supercharges everything. Ladies and gentlemen, T3 is now available at galaxystore.com. The very best iodine that we know of that exists. There may be better. We'll adopt that if we can. But this is the best for sale we found, and we have the best medical grade ultramethylene blue. Get yours now, right now. If you're a VIP member, for 50% off. Regular customers, 25% off. It funds the InfoWar, but more importantly, it is a game changer. If you don't take my advice and try this, you're insane. All you got to do is try it. You'll be blown away. Take action now. TheAuctionStore.com to get T3, now available, and methylene blue at TheAuctionStore.com.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with Rex Jones. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the show. We're going to conclude things this morning with a phenomenal interview. Joining us now is Gary Cardone, an entrepreneur and investor with a background in energy, fintech, payments, and crypto. He's built tons of businesses across several industries and is known for various work in digital assets and blockchain. Welcome to the show. How are you doing today?
Hey, good morning, guys. Good to be here.
Hey.
Happy Easter.
Glad you made it onto the show. This is something that we really wanted to make happen. So pleasure for you to take time out of your day. Before we get started, I kind of want to just go through your background, some of the things, who you are. A lot of people probably know you for your brother as well as the only things that you've done. I don't want to make this about Grant. I want to make this about you. And so we know you're related to Grant Cardone and everything like that, but you've got your own story to tell. And let's focus on that. So just tell us about like your childhood, maybe some of just the background of like how you got to where you are today, because you are wildly successful.
What makes you? Yeah. We want to know that.
Well, look, I grew up in Lake Charles, Louisiana, in a energy refining town. I have an economics and marketing background. My brother, Grant's my twin brother. So we're identical twins. We both took very, very different paths in life. I went corporate, went to work in the oil and gas industry when I was 21. And wow. Under that, in that age, there was the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, FERC, was bringing in a new order. I think it was called FERC Order 474, 473. And that would... revolutionized the way energy was transported and accessed across the United States. So basically, it was called open access, where I, as an individual or a small company, could buy energy in the same way, at the same price that Exxon or DuPont, they were all trading together. So It really opened the market for a very competitive market, and it has worked exceptionally well. There's probably 200 men and women that changed the way energy traded natural gas, electricity, and crude oil in the United States. That market today, we have a sub $3 natural gas price in the United States. When I started in the industry, the natural gas price, this just shows you how cool competition is if you leave the markets undone and don't intervene with them. The price of natural gas when I was first buying it in the 80s was $7.63. Wow. And now it's $3. 35 plus years later. So competition really works. It creates innovation.
Very true.
Now, so that's kind of how I got here.
Now, how did you go from kind of, you talked about being in corporate, and then now you've been in the industry, you've got your own business, you've got your own companies and everything. How have you gotten to like that transition? Like what was that transition like for you, in which like you just decided I'm going to double down and do what I got to do?
I was working for a large oil company that people would know their name in Houston, Texas. And I was 26 years old, and I looked at the management team and I looked at the disruption that was occurring through this new FERC order. And I was like, I don't think these guys, although they own all the oil and gas and they've got big teams and they've got a big building, I could not imagine spending my whole life doing that. So I went to work for a startup. I think I was the 12th commercial employee. It was called Natural Gas Clearinghouse. I took a huge risk. I left a big company with a big brand, a little bit like maybe what you guys have been going through. Hey, what am I going to do when I grow up? And right. I took a big risk. I went to work for a place where the platform or the ball field, if you think about it as an athletic team, they allowed me to exercise the muscles that I had. And I wasn't required to wear a white shirt and a gray suit. I mean, right. they weren't constantly controlling my creation. And that would be, once I went to work for that startup, I would never work for a company again.
Right. And
I've just been building companies since then.
People are hungry for that freedom. And I think you exemplify that in what you do. And that's why me, you, Tim, we're all a part of these conversations now, particularly on X. We're hearing a variety of opinions from people. We're always trying to stay on topic, trying to track everything as it happens, as it evolves. I wanted to ask you, what's your expert view on the energy market disruption? Because you're an oil guy, you have this huge energy background, you know the industry from day one. What's your view on what's going on right now and the potential ramifications and consequences of it?
Do we have a whole day?
Yes.
Look, this is a most spectacular event in world history. And I have a really probably a different view than most people. I understand quite a bit of energy has been disrupted. And had we not gone through COVID, I would probably be a bit more concerned. And by that, I mean, COVID was an instant, immediate demand shutdown, which it was also supply shutdown. The experts are going to say it was all demand driven, but the truth is it was also supply. You couldn't get to work. So we spent, 4 years figuring out how to get logistics all re-engineered, changed. I mean, from toys to energy to gasoline to automobiles, manufacturing processes. I think that made us really strong. It's an anti-fragile exercise, right? Where you go through a huge shock and the whole system figures out how to fix it. May not be the most elegant fix, but that was 6 years ago. And we have gone through that process. I suspect, I have two viewpoints. One, I suspect that we will get logistics back online quicker than we think we can, assuming we don't go any further, which is a big wish, in my opinion. Secondly, I think that we will find that there is a good 35% of all energy that is used. No one wants to talk about this, but it is a big subject. 35% of all energy used, and 35% of the energy has not been terminated yet. 35% of all the energy I use is convenience energy. Like, I don't have to use it. I don't have to have my AC at 69. I don't have to travel in a car every mile. I can start being discerning in the way I'm spending money. I think that's actually really good for Americans. It's being forced on you, but we will learn to really value energy in what it does, and we will waste less of it.
So, Gary,
we waste a lot of energy.
My question on this would be, okay, so you really do have a different perspective, because it's very easy to get black-pilled on this issue.
Sure.
Especially with the oil crisis. So are you trying to say that it may not be as bad as it seems, or that it looks? Because, like, I'm hearing competing ideologies.
It's tough.
And it's very hard to discern what's the truth versus what's the smoke and mirrors. Because, again, you are somebody who's in higher levels of rooms that, you know, the average person doesn't have access to.
Experience.
And the experience, too. So, like, those two combined together, what's the real story here? Are we about to have a major crisis? Because it seems like you're saying, well, COVID has already taught us, but then there's also real stakes here. Can you talk about some of that?
Well, look, I think there's severe damage being done to the economy right now. There's no doubt. There is severe damage being done to the economy, to geographies, and to relationships across the world. Like, Americans taking a big, big, big hit today. If America was a stock, we would probably be closed today.
Wow.
Okay. I mean, seriously. Look, I mean, 40% of the world still cooks on wood.
Wow.
I want to say that for your audience, okay? 40% of the world still cooks on food, still cooks on wood. So they go to the river, they get water, they start a fire, and they clean the water. We have a really different perspective here.
Yes.
When I say that there's 35% of the energy that I use is unnecessary, I can turn my AC off. I don't have to have a hot bath every day. Not one of you guys turned your laptop computer off last night. That means energy is too cheap. Okay. If you're just burning it away and not turning it off, it's too cheap. So we're going to enter a new world where we value what we're doing. This is moving into a world of efficiency. I think this will be the first step to utilizing tools paying for things as we use them instead of paying subscriptions. And you get to pay for my overuse.
Yeah. Okay,
here's a good example. My garbage extraction from my home is bigger than most people's. I should be charged more.
Right.
For sure, I should be charged more. Like, I should be charged on my demand, not on everything that I transact on. I should be, in my opinion, if you started pushing the consequences on energy use instead of everybody pays a flat rate, the world would be a much, much more efficient place. For instance, a car, an automobile is used 4% of the time. That is a massive waste of energy. And you have to build a house to put the car in. And then you got to clean the car. So there's just a lot of things. As we move into what I call the digitization of planet Earth, that we are moving into a fully digital world, we're going to find way to live.
Let me interject here, because it sounds like a lot of what you're talking about is the Great Reset. And we've talked about this a lot on this show and other shows on the network about the 15-minute cities, about kind of the everything being on a meter, including intelligence, all of that. You're in a lot of these elite rooms. You're having a lot of these elite conversations with people. I wanted to ask you the question, what do you hear people talking about? Is it really going to be this globalization where everything is run off of ultimate efficiency? Is it the death of kind of consumer culture where we can use as much as we want? We can go to the store as much as we want. We can eat as much food as we want. What do you see here?
Yeah, I have a lot of financial friends, and I think all these metrics are broken, quite frankly. And but the first one comes up is GDP, right? And look, GDP is a funny number because I don't know how many more T-shirts Americans need. But that drives GDP, man. I mean, I have a lot of T-shirts. I'm wearing my favorite T-shirt today for world peace. But, you know, I just think it's a little bit like the 35% convenience factor on energy. We eat too much, too, by the way. Like, you know, all Americans, if we ate one half the meals that we're eating today, if we were driven into a depression and only had to eat half the meal, no one's going to die of under food, right? Not in America. So like you really start thinking, I think this is going to be, I don't like how we got here, but I think this is going to really drive people to start thinking about where they're living, what they're paying for energy, and how they're using the resources around them. Because I know a lot of people, they're terrified right now. I mean, flat out terrified. They own private businesses. They don't know where their income's going to come from. They see major disruptions. Their employees now are freaking out because they're paying $4.50 for gasoline in Florida instead of $3. Dude, that just changed in 10 days.
I mean, I operate a fulfillment center. Like I'm paying more already, and you know, we're just told these are increases we have to take. I think the average American, especially people in the private business sector, people that employ people, are asking, you know, where's the room for us to breathe? Where's the room in this entire situation?
Yeah, I mean, there's not a lot of room to breathe. But then, you know, I look at what you're saying here, Gary, and I do agree in certain aspects. Like, yeah, I mean, we do need to look at, you know, how much people are overusing or overconsuming, and you know, the waste that's happening with not just energy, but food. Like I used to work as a server for a very long time. I mean, after the day, you would see just trash and piles of trash from food that people weren't eating. And people would have like one thing on the plate and eat it and then throw out the rest of it. And it doesn't go anywhere but the trash. And then, but I also look at another argument here, and it's about how we have created the systems to where we don't have public transportation to allow people to offload the aspects of like vehicle
transport. Where's our high-speed rail?
Well, yeah, and this is what I'm saying. So like if you live in California, most likely you might be working at a job that's closer to downtown because that's where the infrastructure, but you may not be able to afford to live any closer than like maybe an hour away. And that requires you to have a vehicle in order to travel that far out of necessity. And you could look at it and be like, well, that person should be charged more because they're using more, but it's not like a simple binary equation there. Because we're not giving people alternatives like a high-speed rail to where they could drive to their local train station and get the same transportation into where they work. And that would work if we had those incentives in place.
That's such a key point to make because keep in mind the national highway system, what is that? That's a military invention. We wanted the entire country to be connected, and we see things come out of these global conflicts. I think it is like you're saying, we're going to see a new world order come out of all this, right, Tim?
Yes. So, Gary, that's what I'm – so like for the nuances, because it's very easy to paint the black and white picture here. Where is room for nuances when I talk about these scenarios for people who would need to use higher because they have no choice?
Well, look, my brother and I, he's a real estate guy. And 4 years ago, we were arguing. I said, look, no one's going back to the commercial building. And he's like, no, they're all going back. I'm like, no, bro, there's no one's going back to the commercial buildings. The people that will go back to the commercial buildings will be the bottom 80% of the staff. And I mean, you start thinking about the problems this creates. So I'd say a Morgan Stanley. Who, by the way, Jamie Dimon was on TV this morning or last night saying, hey, New York's done.
Wow.
Now, when you talk about New York being done in, what, less than a year? He's like, hey, look, we cannot hire people here. They cannot afford to live anywhere near New York City. Most of his competitors are moving to Florida. So I think you're seeing New York fail because of bad policy all over the place. And people were... You know, the Scaramucci's and the Trumps of the world said New York can never fall. Well, New York is falling just as California is falling. It's too expensive to live there. If you can't survive, like I stopped hiring anyone under $10,000 a month.
Wow.
And the reason is if you don't make $10,000 a month, at least you become a problem to me.
Wow.
And I don't need problems. I need solutions. I don't need criminals. I don't need people that are going to, you know, getting speeding tickets or their car, whatever. I need people that are like their minds are together. And I think this is doing more than inflating the cost of things. This is really creating a lot of terror and fear. And investments are not made when there's terror and fear.
Yes.
And there's instability. So most certainly there is a, you know, whole set of dice being thrown on this geopolitical chessboard, and the entire board is shifting. We need to, as Americans, we are really ignorant people on a world stage. It would behoove every American to start studying true history, not what you're listening to on any media sources, including this one.
Yeah.
Should do your own due diligence.
We always say that. That's the ethos of the show.
That's the ethos.
Very powerful, man.
Yeah.
Very powerful.
That's the reason why I do the deep dives on the show is because the history and the context is important to the entire equation. And more often than not, people just look at the headline, they look at the surface level information, and then they argue on that instead of understanding there's a bunch of complex systems. So like one thing I want to talk about is, you know, you and I often go into like a space like Suleiman. And so we hear a lot of people in those spaces just arguing, and they represent the average person around the world. I know sometimes you're probably just listening, you're probably chuckling to yourself because the narratives that go on in that eco space versus the rooms that you're in are probably two very different things. Am I correct on that?
Well, I'm not a good cartel member. Like, if you want me in a cartel, I'm probably not the guy to be. I'm not going to be loyal to you. I'm not. I grew up Catholic. The moment I saw the too many priests doing too many bad things and the Catholic leaders not saying, hey, that's wrong. They were protecting their people. I walked away. I'm not going to be a part of a bad organization. So, look, I think the world would do well to listen to everyone. Actually listen to other people. I go into a lot of different spaces to me, X and what Elon's doing is a great opportunity for tremendous education.
Sure.
tremendous free education, education we've never received before. And that's why I go there. And I have learned a lot. I don't really laugh at people when they're pitching their deal. They're just pitching their deal, right? And I think it's really hard for most people. Look, it's cost me a lot of money to go in some of these spaces and take a view, right, and have an opinion.
Can you talk about that?
People, well, I mean, I've had friends that are very, very wealthy call me up and go, bro, could you remove that post?
Wow.
Could you, hey, you really want to do this, man?
Yeah. I mean,
you really need to push that envelope. Like, you got a lot of issues. You don't need to. And I'm like, you know, the right thing to do.
Yes.
Isn't always the most convenient thing to do. And I'm really sorry that it's got to be convenient for some people, but this one is a big deal. We have millions of people being disrupted, trafficked, I mean, drugged. But like, if COVID hadn't happened, you might want to call me an extremist.
Mm. We've seen it all before.
I'm pretty sure that the same people that are running this fucking show or ran the 2020 COVID thing. Okay. It's not cool. That was a mass aggressive act against humanity. It's not cool. And I'm not going to stop saying it was not cool until the perpetrators are brought in front of a judge and they're put in prison for the rest
military
of their lives.
Tribunal. And this is the thing, global disruptions, global famines. And the point I wanted to make when you and Tim were going into the discussion of being sure to analyze everything you see and getting alternative sources, the thing the politician will do is the same exact thing the bank man will do or the businessman will do. They'll have a line graph that's going like this, that's going straight down. And they'll find one point where it jumps up again and they zoom in on the point and they're like, we're doing great. Do you see a lot of that?
Yeah. And but listen, you see a lot of that in finance, too. Like, you know, they'll show you a chart and that chart was up for 13 minutes and they compare it to another chart and go, look, it's outperforming. So I'll tell you, I've been investing since I was 21 years old and it's very, very difficult for me to understand where to make an investment today.
Wow.
Like, how do you make an investment in OpenAI when the CFO comes out this weekend and says, we're not ready to go. We have some financial issues. And I'm concerned about the way my CEO spends money.
Mm.
Okay. Like, that's crazy, man. This is serious money these people are raising now.
Right. And where's the power going to come from to power all these data centers now that global energy markets are pretty much destroyed? That's another factor into all this.
Let's say it all gets put together again. The price is never going to, like, the price is always going to have this premium. Not always, but it's going to have a premium here for. If everything were to settle down today, you have already shocked the F out of this system.
Yeah.
Okay, this system is so messed up now. I think it will come back, but I would prefer oil to actually just to go to $200 really, really fast.
Wow.
And then you see the demand destruction. You're going to see demand destruction at 115. It's going to blow your mind.
Okay. We're almost there. I think we're at 110, 112.
Tick tock, yeah. Like the crocodile.
There's
going to
be logistic issues. Okay, there'll be issues with certain centers, but I think you're going to have a lot of production come back online. You're going to see the oil price snap right back down. But you can't keep doing this to demand. It's not good. It's not good for the world economy for certain.
Absolutely. We're coming up on a network break. You're going to join us next segment. Really looking forward to hearing more from you. Thank you so much. Gary Cardone joins us in the next segment. Stick around. TheAlexJonesStore.com. I want to remind you, the place for methylene blue, the place for Shilajit gummies, all your favorite supplements, TheAlexJonesStore.com. Tim Tompkins, Rex Jones. See you soon.
CIA declassified documents last week, Operation Artichoke, to poison vaccines, food supply, and the water to dumb us down and make us controllable. Now new documents about ESP control, how we're really electrochemical systems, liquid crystals, and the pineal gland, and how most people have microscopic to actual large worm infestations, not just from cats, you name it, like Kennedy has one in his brain, and they didn't tell the public most cancer, breast cancer, brain cancer is worms. Now, this is all over the place. Joe Rogan talks about it, I have for years. But here it is, scientists and doctors figuring out now, the CIA knew in 62 that dewormers could reverse most cancers and didn't tell the public that's mass murder. Here it is.
My parasite medications work against cancer cells. And it turns out that the parasites
use mitochondrial substrate level phosphorylation in the tissue. And these embendazole, fenbendazole kill these parasites. So I tried it on the cancer cell, and sure as hell, it targets the mitochondrial substrate and glycolysis. So we have a mechanism now why parasite medications are working. But cancer is not a parasite. All these people say, oh, cancer is a parasite. It's not a parasite. Parasites and tumors use a common metabolic pathway, and a drug that works against parasites can be very effective against cancer. And that's what we begin to see, especially under nutritional ketosis.
So to be clear, the anti-parasite drugs cut off the same mechanism in cancer, but we now know and have known that a lot of cancers from parasites, it's double good. And I don't sell that, but you can buy it online. And my medical doctor told me years ago, take this once a year as a regimen. I do. That's important information you might want to write down, folks, okay? All right. Ladies and gentlemen, you can look it up. Go to the UN Zone website. They admit it. Over 2 million people have cognitive disabilities because they do not have enough iodine. In the 20s, they found this house where to put in the salt. IQs went up about 20 points on average, 15, 20 points. Well, we have the very best atomic iodine in the world. Has been available in several years, ladies and gentlemen. But we have the original X2 back, but even stronger. Pure atomic. Atomic isn't radioactive. It means it's on the periodic table. It is absolutely pure. And I mix that with ultramethylene blue that is also on record good for your pineal gland and reversing the calcification, the rest of it. Your Doc Chambers on, medical doctor, special forces colonel, army colonel. And I said, what do you think methylene blue? He goes, I've been on it since 2004. When I got blown up in Iraq, I had brain damage because it blew away the sheath that's on my nerves. So I did research and found out that they had studies going back over 100 years on methylene blue helping regrow the sheaths on your nerves and all the rest of it. Well, we've got the best methylene blue, and I just mixed the iodine with the methylene blue with this water. I'm going to drink this, and this is pure rocket fuel. So good for your body. Essential iodine with methylene blue together is amazing. Pretty scary looking, too. So, by the way, the new product is supposed to be available right now at thealphashowstore.com is T3. It's X2 back even better at thealphashowstore.com. So for all the fans that wanted it, everybody that wanted to get it, we have had it for over a year. It is back, reborn, like the Phoenix, even stronger. Exclusively available through our sponsor, thealphashowstore.com. But regardless, our methylene blue, our iodine is the best, and it does so many other things. Libido, stamina, energy. It skips the oxidation process in the cells, the methylene blue. And iodine works very similarly, and they go together like a horse and carriage. Get them both now. There's also another big sale as well at thealexshowstore.com, and I thank you for your support.
Folks listening out there in cyberspace, in the car, walking the dog, at the gym, or on the way to work, the toll-free number to call is 1-877-789-2539. Keep in mind, we want to hear from you if you live near a data center, if things are developing, if you've got on-the-ground knowledge of that. The toll-free number to call, that's 1-877-789-2539. 1-877-789-2539. Let's join Gary Cardone back again.
Yeah, so Gary, this has been a great conversation, and there was something that you were touching upon earlier, and you were saying, I've lost a lot of business deals, I've lost a lot of things just from holding positions or, you know, making these tough statements. And what I wanted to ask you on that is, what I'm seeing is there's probably a lot of other people that are in high positions of power, let's even say government.
Sure.
In which they have to take a position. And there are people that they're willing to sacrifice themselves or not willing to sacrifice themselves, let me clarify, to actually say the right things. And so I wanted to ask you about that. Is like, is that what you're seeing? There are people, there's just a lot of yes men, aren't there? And I think it's especially in the government. Is that correct?
I don't think it's just the government. And I wouldn't expect middle management and government to resists, right? But it's the business people that, the leaders, the billionaires. You know, 3,000 billionaires on this planet today. 3,000 billionaires. And I wonder, hey, where are your voices? I've been fortunate to make a decent amount of money and have a really good life. I would hope that the people behind me have the same opportunity, and that you don't have to belong to a group to succeed. Like, that's not America.
Okay, hey, really, else. Really quick. I'm sorry to interrupt. You're having a bit of an audio quality issue.
I think you switched
your setting.
Audio.
Must have gotten switched.
Yeah.
Did I?
Yeah. Well, whatever
you're making this key point. I'll talk for a little bit, give you a little bit of buffer time. The thing that Gary's talking about here is the people that have a lot of voice, that have a lot of impact in the private sector. We're not seeing a lot of them, are we, Tim? We're seeing kind of radio silence on all these issues.
Yeah, we're seeing a lot of radio silence, and it's that investment behind the scenes, the guy who has the real power, the guy who holds whoever has the money holds the power.
Yes.
Money is what moves the world. That is the social currency. That is the real currency that makes decisions. And so if somebody is not happy with a narrative that is being pushed, they have the ability to say, hey, well, you need to change that, or you need to go along with this process.
And finance and industry and business, all these things are really global markets. So if you're an American, but you're involved in these global markets and the global markets are getting impacted, if you're an American, you're hiding behind that. It's time for you to come out and speak up. Maybe you're going to find a way around it, whatever. But the average people, the ordinary people on the ground aren't. And Gary talked about this a little bit earlier. He's wearing the T-shirt for peace, right? And I just think being anti-war, being pro-humanity in all respects, being anti-death, that's such a core human message. And if someone like Zuckerberg, the lizard man, if he wants to not look like a lizard, the idea is not to go do jujitsu and become tough. The idea is to say, hey, we want to end the wars. We want to help people. Why aren't people like that, you know, getting the free, infinitely free political capital off of, you know, just having human positions?
Well, yeah. And then also, well, here's the thing. You had the richest man in the world, Elon, try to help humanity, not just by saving X, but also all the things he was trying to do with Doge. One thing that was profound to me was, if the richest man in the world doesn't have the ability to drain the swamp and change the systems, even though he has the ultimate amount of power when it comes to monetary, then what? Then who can switch it, right? Is it require a conglomerate of like the richest people in the world getting together to battle the George Soroses that just want pure chaos?
That's an excellent question to ask him. Let's see how his audio quality is. Gary, are you with us right now?
I don't know what the problem is here.
Okay, now we can hear you pretty good. Now we can hear you pretty good. It was a little choppy.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, it should be good enough, guys. Is his audio good enough?
We can hear awesome. You. Continue on your point.
Yeah, so continue on your point. We just want to give you some time to figure things out.
Yeah, look, I just think, I mean, I'm just questioning where they are, and that I'm getting phone calls and texts and, hey, you know, do you really need this heat? Look, I see us at war, and we are at war. I think this is not a regional war. And if it's not a regional war, what do you call 20 countries being involved in a conflict?
Right.
I call that world war.
Yes.
I don't call it a regional little spit spat or divorce. This is the global chessboard being moved around, and this has happened for centuries. And for us to not understand it's happening again on our watch. So you see, the part about it's happening on our watch is the important piece, because I did not expect this to be happening at my age and in this century, on this event, on this planet today, but I'm here, I'm alive. So I have to play a role here, or I get to go hide in my little bank account and pretend like it's not happening. But I'm one of the leaders on this planet. I can't pretend like I don't have, you know, you're either a leader or a follower. If you're a leader, to me, you have to step up here. And I tried to step up and do some political stuff. It's not conducive to productive, creative solving of problems. It's just so messed up. I spent some time with this administration. I've never been political, and I will never, ever be political again. Because I think the system is so suppressed. The motivations for being in politics today are, the incentives are assed backwards completely. They're designed for fraud, actually. And they're designed for the wrong thing.
No, you're 1,000% right. And the last question I wanted to ask you was, you know, it's very easy to get doomer and gloomer on these things. Do you see any light at the end of the tunnel, any kind of like white pill perspective in which there might be some hope for the average person? Are things going to change? Are there people working in the background to change these things around? Or are we just consumed by the monster at this point?
Today, we have more freedom today than we have had in centuries. Mm-hmm. And I think if we look back, this never works by the bully. Okay, the bully and the draconian group, they may stay in play here and eke out an existence. But with all this technology, okay, this is why I go into these spaces. People go, hey, why do you spend time on these? This is a massive education opportunity for global planet. However many people there are on this planet, we're going to discover more artists, more creative people, more solutions than we have ever found in history. And not to connect all these pieces and have some of the best brains and minds in the world talking about how we prosper in the future instead of fighting with each other. I think we have plenty of resources on this planet.
Right.
Like, I have been in energy longer than most people, and I do not see a shortage of energy, not anywhere. Okay. Now, the funding to build the capital to all those places, and some of this energy may not be in the most perfect position, but maybe the population of those people aren't in the best position. There's been migration for centuries where people follow the resources. And I, for the first time in my life, am seriously looking at, hey, what do I need to do to go to another location that provides me and my family more security and an easier way of life? So for the first time, I am now thinking about moving out of America. I've lived outside the country before.
Wow.
Because it's becoming a very expensive. Now, I love America. Don't get me wrong. But I'm beginning to look for some secondary options. I think that's going to be a huge business for people just looking at, like, wow, there's going to be a lot of people re-looking at their position in Dubai now.
People looking for growth, people looking for places that are expanding markets. And I think that's a key thing for yourself as an entrepreneur, for us as entrepreneurs, we're both small business owners as well. We look at the situation, costs just climb like crazy every 5 seconds. And these other places actually want you to do business. I want to touch on one more thing before we wrap here. This is a network show. Really appreciate you coming on. We're going to have you on the Gray Area. I want to ask you about this because you mentioned it briefly earlier. Of course, you're wearing the peace shirt, right? You're wearing the anti-war pro-peace shirt. And people can say, oh, well, that's a simple message. You're anti-war. It's a simple message, and it's a very, very powerful one. And it's essential. It's essential for humanity.
Go ahead. Yeah, but let's make it positive, though. Let's be pro-peace. It doesn't have to be anti-war. That's a negative. I am pro-peace, dude. I have no conflicts with any religion whatsoever.
Yes.
Do not attempt to suppress me.
Yes.
If I do not believe in you and your religion, dude, move on. Okay. I'm not going to badmouth you. You can believe in anything you want, but don't fuck with me. Okay. And that's why I love Bitcoin. I mean, we have a market that's just crazy right now. Every price has changed, and Bitcoin is sitting there, a very tiny little market, $1.2 trillion. And it is just holding firm there. And I'm going to just make a prediction on your show that in the next 12 to 18 months, you're going to see Bitcoin. This is not the prediction you think I'm going to say. You're going to see Bitcoin either perform or not perform exceptionally well. If it does not perform exceptionally well in the next 12 to 18 months, it was built for this exact event.
Right.
Okay, exact event. This is why I invested in this in 2020 in a big, big way. I feel extremely comfortable going to bed every night, contrary to, I think, a lot of my buddies, with the world and the conflicts going on with my portfolio of Bitcoin. It is the only asset I have that I feel comfortable with.
Yes. We're all super bullish on Bitcoin. We really appreciate you taking the time and spending this time with us here today. Sorry for the shortness. We know you had 90 minutes budgeted out for us. We hope to have you on the Gray Area soon. You're incredible. Thank you so much, Gary Cardone, ladies and gentlemen.
Where can they find you? What are you doing out there? I think X is your main platform, right?
Yeah, X is the only platform I'm allowed on anymore, pretty much. So
Beautiful.
Where I get any.
Awesome.
Yeah. Thank you guys. Appreciate you very much. Appreciate what you're doing.
We'll definitely connect with you after the show and try to get you on the gray area.
Give him a follow.
Give him a follow. We also want to have a longer conversation with you outside of the show. So that would be great. Appreciate you, Gary.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah. We love having the opportunity to be on the network and show people like this to a wider audience and have these conversations and make things go around because it's what people want to see in the morning fast, hard hitting news. But we do a show Thursday and Sunday called The Gray Area. That's a 2 to 3 hour show. And on Sunday, it's always a 3+ hour show. Where we have a guest, we have a deep dive, and sometimes we take calls.
Yeah. And it's one of those things that if you guys want to continue to hear us outside of the show, if you like the information that we're giving, this is kind of like our bread and butter.
The place to go.
Yeah, it's the place to go. Also, give me a follow on
Truism Tim.
Truism Tim. I'm right there. I'm linked in the bio. But, you know, we also want to hear from you guys.
Yes, so we do.
Let's we got some callers here, and we asked specifically about for people who are existing near these data centers. Let's see. Who do we got
here? Okay. Let's talk to Alex in Michigan, University of Michigan Building AI Data Center. Alex, you're on the air.
Hey, how's it going, you guys? Good to talk to you again.
Yep. So what's going on?
The University of Michigan, they're asking taxpayers for billions and billions of dollars to build this AI supercomputer data center in Ann Arbor, Michigan.
Wow.
And actually Ypsilanti, which is right next to Ann Arbor, but yeah, so if you look at the history of the University of Michigan, it was actually set up by the Vatican and these Catholics and Jesuits. So it's another Jesuit institution trying to destroy our once great Protestant Republic.
Okay. All right. We appreciate it. Thank you for the comment. Let's go to Tommy in North Carolina. Has new data center being built next to his house. Talk about that. What's that like for you to have your coffee, to get out in the morning and to see the data center?
Well, it's about 2 miles from my house, but it was a farm. It was a family farm. I don't know how many generations deep it was, but when the grandkids got it, kind of like the Oliver Northstone went, you know, they got the land and they sold it immediately.
Yep.
And they did not give people in the community really, they gave us a chance to speak. I went and spoke on it, but as soon as their representative stood up, the first words out of her mouth was, our investors have $7 or $9 trillion, and you know the dollar signs came up, and so we were just pretty much just buried in
your blindsided
bunch of crap from that land. Yeah, and you know I brought up the aspect of where's the security at for all this? Like they gave us this whole there's 300 acres they're taking over, and they gave us all this great thing about subsidies and all this, but they never once talked about security. And in the same time, they were talking about how this was about national security. You know, we got to be top of the game for all the new technology coming out, so we need these data centers. And I was like, well, who's going to secure this stuff? You know, we got people all over this country. We don't know who they are. We know there's terrorists here. They're building now, these data centers up with thousands of gallons of diesel fuel and all this. Who's going to watch this stuff?
They are primed for an attack. I think that's an excellent point to make. Yeah. Tim, your thoughts.
Yeah, I was just saying, like, I mean, they hold these town halls. I presume that's what you were talking about, where they were like, hey, this new data center is getting propped up here. You have an opportunity to speak. But what it sounds like is you spoke. They didn't really care. All they saw was dollar signs. And I think this is the bigger issue here is the money speaks more than what they care about, the impact to the people that live in that region. I really hope, Tommy, that you don't have to go through any type of misery from, you know, this data center issues, because it is affecting America's on a day-to-day.
Is it affecting your water, your power, or anything like that? You see any bills go up or quality go down?
They haven't started building it just yet. They've got they're doing all the rigmarole to get everything passed through. They are starting to clear the land, though. I have noticed that. They are starting to cut all the trees down.
How big of a facility are we talking?
One thing I did notice, because I went and spoke at a lot of the town stuff when they were trying to remove the statues. And a lot of the people from the town, from the area that came out and spoke against it and was all for the Black Lives Matter and for this, that, and the third, those people were the same people that came to these town halls for the data centers and spoke for the data centers.
Wow. That's a key observation.
I did notice that. Yeah. Because I sat back and watched, And I don't have much of a filter. I told them they were all retarded. They weren't thinking this through. I had people giving me high fives, claps on the way out, you know, the normal thing from the normal people, you know.
But the people that are bought into the system, they probably look at you like you have three eyes, and that's because they're co-opted by evil.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you so much for the call, Tommy. Really appreciate that. Got to get through calls here. Let's go to number three. Let's go to Will in Indiana. He's got a council meeting today trying to stop a data center. Will, your thoughts?
Yes, today in central Indiana, the town of Shelbyville, they are trying to annex 429 acres into the city from the county. They've already got 112 acres to put up what they started out saying was going to be a 400 to 500 megawatt facility. Now it's gone up to 900.
Wow.
And they there's been a lot of resistance here. We've got several thousand in-person signatures against it. We've got 7,000 plus online signatures against it on a community that's about 20,000 people. And they just they postponed it a few times, trying to probably cool the air before they come out here. But,
right.
You know, a lot of people believe it's a done deal. Hopefully it's not, but they actually
are there a lot of people pissed off right now in your town? Are the local people talking about it? Is it been the talk of the town?
Yes, it has been the talk of the town. They try to say there's not as much resistance than there is. And of course it's all been peaceful. We're very, you know, everyone wants everything to go as peacefully as possible. Nobody needs to get upset, you know, at this point.
Yeah, but it's like they try to build these giant tombstones around these towns to bury them under the electrical costs, under the grid costs of all of it, under the infrastructure costs. And, you know, we're all rightfully upset. You say in the town of 20,000 people, like 7,000 of them, nearly half have kind of risen up against this and have signed petitions to ban it or get it postponed or whatever. Isn't it crazy to you, Tim, and also to the caller as well, isn't it crazy that the entire popular will of the people can be against something and it's still just going to get railroaded through?
Yeah, I think there has to be some incentives or with the lobbying that's happening here. That's the only equation, because how can you with a good conscience say that you represent your town or your people,
right,
and then continue to pass these,
absolutely,
you know, like the previous caller just talked
absolutely
about.
Thank you so much, Will in Indiana. Let's go to number five, another Will. This is going to be Will in Northern Louisiana. Troubling new Amazon data center in Caddo Parish. Tell us about this troubling new data center.
Yeah, hey, what's going on, Tim? Rex, the Orthodox brother. I live here in Caddo Parish, and the amount of poverty here already is crazy, and that's why it's so shocking that they're going to put the data center here. I'm from Texas originally and grew up in Arkansas, and I didn't realize how good I had it in Arkansas, because when I moved here 2 years ago, most of my bills doubled anyway. So energy is already really expensive here. The pay is really low here. And, it's frightening that I actually just found out about this ago, and I've talked to all my friends in the area, and I don't know if you've heard about this. It was great news when they built the Amazon warehouse here a couple of years ago because of the need for good jobs in this area. But, I could see people just being ignorant to the effect the data center is going to have on the local economy and just think that it's a good thing.
Yeah, I mean, that makes perfect sense. It's like, you know, you hear the word data, or you hear the word Amazon, or you hear the word Meta, and you think that it's a good thing inherently.
Jobs.
Because it's jobs. Also, he's talking about the warehouse and the facilities, but then the data center is like a whole nother thing. And that's the whole reason why we did the deep dive, so that people know what's going on. So we appreciate the call. We've only got a little bit of more time, and we've got to go to the next caller. Let's go to number seven. Kevin in Indiana, you're on the line here.
Data centers are really interesting to watch go up, and I've got a big one here in Lebanon, Indiana, and we're all waiting to see. We appreciate your coverage of all this.
Thank you.
But we don't know really what to think about all this quick movement.
What's it look like going up? How fast are they building it? How big is this place, if you had to estimate in your mind square footage-wise?
15,000 I'm sorry, I think it's 1,500 acre site.
Wow,
it's called the Indiana LEAD Project, and it's a meta center, metadata, and it's big. They, from my house, I'm about 4 miles away, and at night they're working 24/7, and the sky, the big glow, like there was a Super Bowl game, and they're just constantly going at it. There's about 1,000 pieces of earth moving equipment. It's big. It's going to be none of the Colossus.
Oh, you know what? This is the same data center that we were talking about. Yes. On the deep dive, where Meta was only going to be paying 50% of the cost. Ooh. This was the thing that we were getting pissed off about.
Right.
And for you, Kevin, you and the surrounding people, because you're only 4 miles away, you might be subsidizing some of those costs without realizing it. Have you thought about that? Have people been talking about that? Has anyone in your town let you guys know or yep, made you guys aware?
Yeah, it's beginning to get like in Grapevine, Texas, or Granbury, Texas, where the people are getting, you know, saying, I'm getting sick. You know, they're doing this all the time. And, you know, just the activity is making them nervous. But when this thing comes online, what's it going to be? Is it going to be like a Frankenstein laying out there in the dirt? Is it going to be controlling who knows what? It's scary.
Well,
it's the new priority. That's the problem. Is used to be the priority was the town or the city and the people that lived in it and the businesses relating to it. Even the Amazon Fulfillment Center, like you say, that's not a temporary thing where the jobs are going to go away. You need people to help with the robots and the boxes and whatnot. But with this, it's literally a tombstone. It's a tombstone type situation. This is the quote from a Lebanon resident. I feel like our home is being invaded.
Lebanon residents disputed it by light, noise, by the Meta Data Center project.
But thank you so much.
Thank you, Kevin.
Thank you for the call.
We've got to wrap up here. But again, these things are just insane. And I love to hear from the people who are actually experiencing these situations, because it makes you understand and it humanizes it, right?
Well, this is why the format of what my dad called 32 years ago radio talk show on TV is so important, is because we actually hear from the people that call in, and we give you a high level overview with Gary Cardone, who's involved in a lot of these high level business circles and things. And then we talk to the people on the ground, and that gives you both a microscope and a 30,000 foot view to see what's going on. Tim, that's why you do the deep dive.
That's why we all do the deep dive. And this is the whole reason why you got to understand the information, why you need to be exposed to the information, is so that you understand what you can do at the end of the day. And you should be aware. That way,
yes,
you, when they come to your town and they say, hey, you want a data center here? You say, not in my backyard. So
that's absolutely true. Knowledge is power. The pen is mightier than the sword. What do you believe? What do your loved ones believe? We believe in the truth. Infowars.com. Alex Jones coming up right now. Gray Area on X. Go ahead and follow us there. Trues and Tim on X. Give them a follow as well.
So, CIA declassified documents last week, Operation Artichoke, to poison vaccines, food supply, and the water to dumb us down and make us controllable. Now new documents about ESP control, how we're really electrochemical systems, liquid crystals, and the pineal gland, and how most people have microscopic to actual large worm infestations, not just from cats, you name it, like Kennedy has one in his brain, and they didn't tell the public most cancer, breast cancer, brain cancer is worms. Ladies and gentlemen, you can look it up. Go to the UN's own website. They admit it. Over 2 billion people have cognitive disabilities because they do not have enough iodine. In the 20s, they found this house where it put in the salt. IQs went up about 20 points on average, 15, 20 points. Well, we have the very best atomic iodine in the world. Has been available in several years, ladies and gentlemen. But we have the original X2 back, but even stronger. Pure atomic. Atomic isn't radioactive. It means it's on the periodic table. It is absolutely pure. And I mix that with ultra methylene blue that is also on record good for your pineal gland and reversing the calcification, the rest of it. Well, we've got the best methylene blue. And I just mixed the iodine with the methylene blue with this water. I'm going to drink this. And this is pure rocket fuel. So good for your body. Essential iodine with methylene blue together is amazing. Pretty scary looking, too. So, by the way, the new product is supposed to be available right now at thealexjonesstore.com. It's T3. It's X2 back even better. at thealexjonesstore.com. So for all the fans that wanted it, everybody that wanted to get it, we have had it for over a year. It is back, reborn, like the Phoenix, even stronger, exclusively available through our sponsor, thealexjonesstore.com. But regardless, our methylene blue, our iodine is the best, and it does so many other things, libido, stamina, energy, and they go together like a horse and carriage. Get them both now. There's also another big sale as well at thealexjonesstore.com, and I thank you for your support.